today on Real Radio.
I want you to know something right now. The Bible says that he is God come to earth in human flesh. And all this week we've been celebrating the fact that he has been displaying to us and the Word of God displays to us love beyond measure. That is our theme.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series of lessons that commemorate what is arguably the most pivotal and significant point in history, Passion Week. We're talking about the days leading up to the arrest of Jesus of Nazareth, his crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called Jesus Christ is Love Beyond Measure.
I am going to read a gospel narrative, but I'm going to ask you to go to Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 20 to 21, and from there we're going to use this statement by the Apostle Paul to believers in Turkey, in Ephesus. We're going to use it to consider the magnitude, the argument, the person of Jesus Christ and what he means to you today. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. There the Bible says, now to him who is able to do, listen to this, exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, that's a lot, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And it says there, amen. An amazing statement by the apostle. The gospel had gone out 2,000 years ago. The gospel, the evangel, the good news that Jesus Christ had come, listen, according to the scriptures. That the Bible said that Jesus would come. It was laid out in thousands and thousands of years old of scripture, promises. For example, the nation of Israel had the word of God, and the Bible said that the Messiah would come. In fact, it goes so far to say that the Messiah of the world would come from heaven and be born in a little village called Bethlehem. The Bible says that that one that would be born in Bethlehem would be eternal. The Bible says that he would be one who would raise the dead, that he would open the eyes of the blind. All this was foretold in the ancient Hebrew prophets with profound clarity. You couldn't miss it. And as you might have looked at last Sunday when you were hearing the message, that on Palm Sunday, the very day last week that Jesus Christ entered into Jerusalem, was laid out all in Bible prophecy. Why do I stress that this morning? Because maybe if you're here today and you're not sure if you believe in Jesus Christ, or you think that you can be user-friendly with him, that you can log on to his existence whenever you want and then get out of it. I want you to know something right now. The Bible says that he is God come to earth in human flesh. And all this week we've been celebrating the fact that he has been displaying to us and the Word of God displays to us love beyond measure. That is our theme. And what an amazing thing it is for us to gather together as Christians. And I don't know how you take that news today that God loves you. Sometimes we, it's kind of like, oh yeah, well, whatever. You know, you and I live in an age right now, we are so overstimulated, are we not, with stuff. So much stuff. By the way, you buy something. I mean, look, you buy a phone. How long is that new smartphone, smart and new? Not very long, is it? You buy a new car. How long does it take before it feels old again? Kind of like when you get the first dent in it. Things are going so fast that what is new is already old before you and I sometimes even find out about it. You and I live in an age that it's moving so fast, but the news that we talk about today, that Jesus Christ died and rose again from the grave, that's old news, it's eternal news, it's prophetic news, but listen, it is more current than what's coming next. Because every one of us will live and die. And Jesus Christ is the one who every one of us, within the hearing of my voice, every one of us will someday meet Jesus face to face. It may be on good terms or it may be on bad terms. That's your decision to make. But he has gone beyond communicating his love to us. And so today I pray that you might be a little bit shocked. I'm going to review the gospel narrative that's out of Luke's gospel, chapter 24, and then we'll get into why you and I, as a believer, or maybe today as a non-believer, or maybe somebody who has a relationship with God, as I pray most of us, if not all of us do, versus someone who's religious, that you come to a point of decision. The Bible tells us in Luke's gospel, chapter 24, that it was early on Sunday morning that the women came to the tomb and they brought spices. Those were embalming fluids that they might anoint the body of Jesus Christ. Their dilemma, as they said, was this: who's going to roll away the stone for us? It's a great stone. In fact, just a week ago, many of us on tour in Israel, it was amazing. We went to the place called Golgotha, the place of the skull. It's an archaeological site. It looks like, with the eyes and the sockets, it looks like a skull. And then a stone's throw away about from this side of the sanctuary to about over here to this side of the sanctuary is a large family tomb that was unearthed, and it was in a garden. And in that tomb, the archaeologists show us that people had worked on it, making it larger as a family tomb. And then something happened, and it caused that tomb to no longer be used ever again 2,000 years ago. The place of the skull, Golgotha, the Bible says in John's gospel that where Jesus was crucified, he was laid in a nearby tomb. The Bible tells this. Archaeology tells us this. And the women were going to the tomb, but this great stone was there, and that was their big challenge. But the Bible tells us in another place that the ground shook. And of course, it says that an angel appeared and rolled back the stone, not to let Jesus out, mind you, but to let the disciples in. And they came, and they saw that the tomb was empty. And they went back, and they reported what they had seen or not seen to the disciples. And the Bible says that the words of those women reporting the good news seemed like idle tales to the disciples. They didn't believe it. Eventually, John and Peter began to run to the tomb, and they found it emptied. And then the Bible tells us that in time, Jesus appeared to them. 2,000 years ago, this message went out, and it continues to sweep the earth today. And you're here today because this message is not only one that continues to go. Notice the fact of the evidence that it keeps its argument before the hearing of men, but that perhaps you've come today to worship him who is risen. I love the fact that the Bible says that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Almighty, who was alive, who died, and who lives again. Think of it, that God would come from heaven to earth to die on the cross. God! To die in our place, but on Sunday morning be resurrected from the dead. All of a sudden, listen, let's play skeptic for a moment. If that's true, if it's true, then it shatters all of our fears. If all of the things that cause you and I to be obsessed with fear or being intimidated or what's going to happen next, wait a minute. If God can raise the dead, and if the prototype of our hope is none other than Jesus, recorded in the scripture, then it changes everything. Everything changes. Love beyond measure all of a sudden stands up, as it were, to you and I today and says, you must consider Jesus Christ. There's no religion in the world that's got the story that you can hear today. Jesus is risen from the dead. And that Bible's narrative goes on to tell us that as two disciples were walking that afternoon on that Sunday, they were walking back to their home. I love this. I would love to see this. As they're walking, the Bible says they're discussing the events of the day. And the scripture says Jesus came, and they didn't recognize him. It says Jesus came suddenly alongside them. How cool is that? They're just walking, and Jesus just shows up. Hey, what's up? What's going on? And they said, are you a stranger in these areas? Do you not know what's happened? And Jesus says, what things? By the way, listen, I think Jesus is going to ask you today, what things? What things do you know? What things can you say out of your mouth? Yeah, yeah, I heard this, I heard that. Jesus might come alongside your heart today and say, what things? And so when he asked them, what things do you mean? They said, concerning the Christ, the Son of God. He was mighty in word and in deed, and he did miracles, and he preached about the kingdom. But But he was betrayed and he was beaten and he was crucified. And now, after all, it's the third day and we had hoped, past tense, we had hoped that he was the one. And the Bible says that as they entered near their home, Jesus went into their home with them. And the scripture says that as they began to break bread, Jesus took the bread and he broke the bread. And I don't know what transpired, the supernaturalness of it all, or did they see the holes in his hands? But he broke bread, and it says at that moment their eyes were opened and they recognized who he was. And the scripture says that he vanished from their sight. He had told them, by the way, the scripture says that from Moses throughout all the prophets, shouldn't the Christ have come and suffered all these things, but on the third day be glorified? Church, do you hear that news? That God says, look to my word, question it, examine it, and hold my claims up to your skepticism. Hold my deeds up to your scrutiny and decide. And when you think about love beyond measure, look, if you've studied psychology or sociology, when you strip everything away, it comes down to this. People want to be loved. Look, don't sit here today as some big, you know, tough guy. I don't want to be loved. Yeah, you do. Yes, you do. You were created by God to desire and to impart love. I don't care how macho you might look today. You want to be loved. And God made you to be one who loves others. Where does this come from? And the very consciousness that in our minds, all of us, no matter what we claim to believe or not believe, the thought that, is there an eternity? What happens after death? Is there hope? It's an absolute fact. 1 o'clock this morning, a friend of mine in Europe sent out his text. 1 o'clock this morning, his 4-year-old daughter died on resurrection morning. He's a believer, and his text said, my daughter, our daughter has died. But she's alive right now, sitting next to Jesus in heaven. And you might say, that's just the lamentation of a parent grieving beside themselves. No, you know what? That's exactly what the Bible says. The Bible says, for all those who believe in Christ Jesus and trust in him, in that moment of death, we enter into the presence of God. The opposite of that, the Bible says, is hell. That the moment somebody dies and they do not have the entrance into heaven, wherever Jesus is not, the Bible makes it very clear that in eternity, it's a place called hell. And the Bible says he came that we wouldn't have to do that, that we wouldn't have to see it. And so in my thoughts, I put some things together, love beyond measure. And I'll go through these things very quickly. What would that look like and how would that challenge my life? If God is real and true, and if God is love, as the Bible says, and if his love then would be as he is beyond measure, consider this. Did you know that God loves you and his love is beyond measure? Because listen, he desires you to know him. I want you to think about this for a moment. God, the God of the Bible, he does not set up, listen, don't think this for a moment. He does not set up a gauntlet, an impossible path that you cannot get to him. He doesn't set up some sort of hurdle or system to whereby if you go through all of these things and you do all of these penance and you pay this much and you do these duties, then you can enter into his presence. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says that God has made the way freely to all those who will believe by Jesus Christ. He wants you to know him. Doesn't that make sense? Doesn't it make sense? Don't you want to know people? Don't you want to love? Don't you want to have some intimate relationship and camaraderie with family? Maybe it's with parents or maybe it's with child, husband or wife. You were created in the image of God and God wants to know you. Is that so far-fetched to consider? If God is love, doesn't it make sense that he would want you to know him personally? The Bible argues this. That when Jesus was in the region of Capernaum by the Sea of Galilee, he was preaching the gospel. And so the scriptures were fulfilled of the prophet Isaiah that said that those who live beyond the Jordan in the land of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And those who have sat in the region of the shadow of death, light has dawned. And from that time, Jesus began to preach to change your mind. The word is repent. Change your mind, for the kingdom of God has come. Think of it. Whenever the good news arrives, even today for some of you, remember, God doesn't want you to become religious. He wants you to become his child. He wants you to become one who gets to receive and enjoy all the benefits of what Jesus did at the cross for you. He died for me. He died for you. And Jesus came, and what did he say? Jesus said, change your mind. The kingdom of God has arrived. Maybe that's true for you today. We need to have a mind change regarding that. The second thing I want you to consider this, if love beyond measure is true, then listen, wouldn't it make sense that God would reach out? And I've noticed this, that God, when he reaches out, most often does it in familiar ways. See, most people, when we think about, well, I want God to do this for me, and then I'll believe. What if God chooses to speak almost continually to us in familiar ways? We've been walking around this campus since 4:30 this morning. Why do I tell you this? Because we're so excited to get here today. And we were walking around. At 4:30 this morning, the birds were singing in the courtyard like it was broad daylight. Now, look, did they know what today was all about? I don't know what they know. I just know that God knows them. He says so, right? But they were singing, and I noticed that. I thought, that's cool. But you know what? How often does God speak to us in very familiar things? What's going on in your life? Isn't it funny? We miss things so often. Something happens and we think God is not involved in it. Something happens and we think that he's not listening. Something happens and we think that God is not near to us. It's the exact opposite. My dear friends, my friend and his wife were mourning the loss and graduation of their little daughter. Let me tell you, with mixed emotions, of course, they wanted to see their little baby girl grow up. But you know what? They're going to go see her someday. That's what Jesus says. Jesus says, if you die believing in me, yet shall you live. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. And when God extends his love, I believe that he does it so continually, we often miss the real deep truth of it all. And I think he's speaking. You might say, I need him to speak to me. And I want to counter and come back and say, I think he's speaking in situations, in life. You know, when he reaches out in familiar ways, I just jotted down three quick things. Jesus met a woman at Jacob's well in Samaria. You've read that in your Bible, haven't you? They were in the Galilee region in the north ministry, and Jesus is heading down to Jerusalem in the south. And the Jews would not go through Samaria because Samaritans were half-breeds. They were half Hebrew and half pagan by intermarriage, by a previous culture. So the Jews would avoid Samaria. So what does Jesus do? Church, was Jesus not Jewish? He was Jewish. So what does he do? Because he's God in skin, don't you love that? He says to the disciples, it's important we go through Samaria. Can you imagine the disciples? Oh, what? And Jesus goes, yep, follow me. And he walks through Samaria. And where does he go? He goes right to Jacob's well. Why? There was a woman at that well. Remember that? And go ahead and read it later in John's gospel, but it is amazing because she doesn't know who he is. He knows exactly who she is. And he says, I'd like to have a drink of water. And she goes, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a Samaritan for a drink of water? We're not supposed to talk. And there's a dialogue that is struck there in the scripture. You can read about it. And Jesus says, why don't you go tell your husband that I'm here? And she goes, well, I don't. Listen to this. She goes, well, I don't have a husband. You can almost. She doesn't know who he is. She says, I don't have a husband. I'm doing the best I can, people. I'm sorry. This is. And Jesus says to her, that's true. You've had five husbands, and the man you're living with right now is not your husband. Can you imagine your mask getting knocked off a little bit at that moment? And she says, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. And what happened in that moment? Jesus took out a stick and he beat her to death with it. No. Look, those of you who don't know your Bible, that's not what happened. Jesus shared with her eternal life. Jesus shared with her the message of the gospel. She got so excited, she wound up trusting in Christ. She ran to her village, and the whole town came out. And they said, now, listen, we believe in him, not because you do, but because we've seen him with our own eyes. familiar ways. What about the man who was the demoniac in Gadara? We were just there. We were just there in Israel in Gadara. No Jews like to go to that region. It's still vacant. It's been unpopulated for over 2,000 years. Why? Because there's tombs there, ancient tombs. And the Bible says that there was a man there possessed with demons. And what would Jesus do? He tells the disciples, get in a boat. We're going to go take a boat ride. And they get in a boat, and Jesus, now remember that region. If you know, and if you don't know, let me tell you. One of the reasons why the Jews avoided the area was not only because Gentiles lived in the region, and there were a bunch of tombs there, but they raised pigs there in kosher country. Can you imagine? What does Jesus do? He has Peter set the compass on the boat to port pig. And I'm wondering what the disciples were thinking. We're kind of getting close to pig land here. We're kind of getting close to Farmer John up here. What's he thinking? What is he thinking? And the Bible says that the boat hits the shore. Jesus steps out on the shore. And the scripture says this demoniac, the man is naked, possessed, and he's all scarred up from mutilating himself, runs up to Jesus. And then these voices come out and they say, we know who you are, Son of God. Have you come to torment us before the end? And Jesus says, come out of him. Isn't that cool? Come out of him. Jesus just speaks the word. And the Bible says the demons left that man. And he sat in his right mind. Familiar to that man was living in tombs. Familiar to that man was knowing nothing but insanity. And Jesus took that boat and those disciples head on right into it. Don't you love him? When you've got to go to the hospital, or when you've got the word from that doctor, or when your wife or your husband says, see ya, Jesus sets course for your soul. Jesus is reaching out. He may not have caused those things, but he'll use those things to get your attention. I think of the poor man, how Jesus reaches out in familiar ways at the pools of Bethesda. The guy's crippled. If you don't know the story, a vast group of people would gather together at certain times because the water would stir up, and they thought it was an angel shaking or stirring up the water. What really happened, it was spring-fed waters, and at times, bubbles would come up to the top. But look, when you're desperate, you'll grab onto anything. Oh, I need to have a horoscope read so I can find out how my day is going to be. Why don't you read the Bible and watch how your day is going to be?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson taken from his series called Love Beyond Measure. It's a look at the fulfilled prophecies as well as the messianic claims and status of Jesus of Nazareth and what it means for all of us. We'll continue with more Love Beyond Measure on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, we want to let you know that this entire series, Love Beyond Measure, is all yours on DVD for a gift to Real Radio of any amount. It's a four-part series that explores the messianic claims and status of Jesus of Nazareth, also his final atonement for sin, what the Passover means, why he's called the Lamb of God, and a whole lot more. And all of them are all yours on DVD for your gift to Real Radio of any amount. Just call, click, or write, just ask for it by name, the Love Beyond Measure series, Pastor Jack's collection of Passion Week lessons on DVD. We think you're going to like that. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or if you'd like to send your tax-deductible gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And, of course, all of our contact info can be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.